PPI.org.
For joining Disability and Progress, where we bring you insights into ideas about and discussions on disability topics. My name is Sam. I'm the host of this show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Charlene Dahl is my research woman. And hello, Charlene. You with me, Charlene? You're not with me, Charlene. Hopefully, I'm with somebody. Matt Finkel and Annie Harview are my engineers, and tonight we are speaking with Justin Page. Justin, are you with me?
I am, and it looks like Charlene is on mute.
So she needs to unmute herself, and when she does, she can talk. Okay. Let's see. So Matt is the assistant supervising attorney with the Mid-Minnesota Legal Aid and Minnesota Disability Law Center. And tonight we're going to be talking about voting and all that good stuff. So lots of changes with voting and such a strange time. So I've already dated this show. So, but thank you very much for coming on, Matt. I really appreciate it. Or Justin, sorry. Justin, can you start out by giving me a little bit of history and how you got involved with Legal Aid in Minnesota Disability Law Center?
Yeah, so I've been an attorney at Mid-Minnesota Legal Aid, which houses the Minnesota Disability Law Center, which is the statewide protection and advocacy mechanism for people with disabilities in Minnesota. We provide free legal services to individuals with disabilities. We focus on education, community service and integration, access to education, employment. We have an e-program. And then again, we have a non-partisan voting rights program. I started out as a staff attorney, and I've been working on our voting rights project for probably about 10 years. I was recently promoted to one of our assistant supervising positions where I oversee the voting rights work we do.
So what is the Disability Law Center and what do they do? And I know that's a huge question, but give us a little bit of an overview.
Yeah. So the Disability Law Center, again, as I said, it's a statewide protection and advocacy organization for people with disabilities. Every state has a protection and advocacy for people with disabilities. In Minnesota, it is the Minnesota Disability Law Center. We provide free legal services to individuals with disabilities. We do community services and integrations, a lot of medical assistance appeals, access and discrimination work, your more traditional ADA, Fair Housing Act, discrimination litigation. We do employment work for people who are involved with the vocational rehabilitation system. We have a Rep and E grant. So we do a lot of work. In our office. Our main office is in Minneapolis. We have a Duluth office, a Mankato office, and an office in Fertile, Minnesota, which is up in northwestern Minnesota.
Ah, okay. And you said every state has some kind of state disability law office.
Correct. Yeah, it's called the Protection and Advocacy. All you would probably need to do in another state to find what their protection and advocacy is just to Google the state and the words protection and advocacy for people with disabilities, and you should be able to find it.
Does that change and what types of things that they cover?
You know, every state has their own priorities and the types of cases they do. So, I mean, a lot of it will overlap, but there probably is a small amount of variation. For example, I know of the Protection and Advocacy Organization in Illinois, Equip for Equality, does employment discrimination. We don't do a lot of employment discrimination work, so that's just one kind of example.
All right. Well, speaking of restrictions, there seems to be a lot of changes going on now. We have a whole lot of things that have kind of changed and turned our world upside down during this strange COVID time. And I want to talk a little bit about the restrictions and accommodations that are in place because of COVID-19 that will probably affect voting process for many Minnesotans and other states as well that's happening. So what is the difference in, first of all, there's two voting times coming up, and I want to talk a little bit about each one. There's two elections coming up, one in August and one in November. Can you talk a little bit about the differences in those two elections, and do they change from state to state?
Well, I can focus on Minnesota because I think a lot of states have, or most states have primary, although don't quote me on that. But Minnesota, we definitely have a primary kind of runoff. And that election is on August the 11th. And that election, it's a partisan ballot. So you are voting for, you kind of pick a party, and then you pick the candidate you would like to see. You know, for example, you know, there's a Senate, U.S. Senate race. There's all the federal elections, so the U.S. House races and all the congressional districts. But you pick the party you want to vote for. So if you want to vote for the Republicans, you would just pick the Republicans for each race, and then pick the person you would like to see win that race. And then the votes will be counted. And then, for example, there might be three Republicans running for U.S. Senate. You might vote for the second candidate. And, you know, if your candidate gets the most votes, your candidate will then move on to the general election, where it will be the U.S. Senate Republican versus the U.S. Senate Democrat, as well as the nominees for the other parties.
Sometimes I hear people say, well, it's not a big deal if I don't vote in August. I'll just vote, make sure I vote in November. Is this true?
I don't ascribe to that view. I mean, I think all elections are important, and you should do your research on all candidates. And if you think there's a candidate you prefer, then you should definitely make your voice heard in the August primary, because if it's not heard in the August primary, there might be a different candidate in your party who gets the nomination.
Yes.
And I realized I didn't talk about the November election and how it's different. The November election is kind of the party nominees, and they are, and there's, so you have, in November, you'll have races for the president. So there's no, we already had our primary for the president this past March. You'll have the U.S. Senate. So you'll have the Democrat and the Republicans and the other parties vying for who's going to be senator. And all the House races, you'll have House races and all the congressional races. You'll have the whole Minnesota legislature is up for election. So you'll have your state rep and state senator who you'll be voting for. And also there might be some local elections. For example, I live in Minneapolis and there's a school board election. So that'll be on the ballot this November.
And presumably each state kind of has a couple of different things that may be here or there on their different elections.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, every state will vote in the November election is on November 3rd and every state will vote on November 3rd. That's kind of the big, that's kind of the main election where they'll be, you know, traditionally for the primary is not as well attended, even though I think it's as important, but most people do vote in the general election in November.
If somebody isn't quite sure of all the things that's going to be on the ballot, is there somewhere they can go to look that up?
Yep. So the Secretary of State's office does a great job of providing a lot of voting information on elections. So if you have questions, you can go to mnvotes.org, and that'll take you to the Secretary of State's website. And one of the features on that website is a sample ballot. So, and I did it today, and it's really slick. So you can just type in your address, and it will actually bring you up. It'll pull up your actual sample ballot. So the sample ballot you will actually see. So you'll know who the candidates are. And it'll give you time to, or give you the ability to research all those candidates.
So each state, anybody who's listening, since we are global, if they want, they should go to their Secretary of State and on their website, and they should be able to pull up their ballot.
Well, I can just say what Minnesota does. What the Secretary of State's office in Minnesota does. I don't know if that feature is available in other states. I mean, hopefully it is. It's a really great tool to help individuals know who is and is not on the ballot.
So we're talking about voting tonight, and there's a change from Minnesota state elections law. There was a new law, I think, right, that helps with these elections to help them be safer. So what are some of those changes that came about?
Right. So the legislature passed a law in response to the COVID-19 epidemic that we're experiencing right now. To make voting safer. I mean, it's encouraging because we want to encourage people. In Minnesota, we have absentee voting. So you can vote absentee through the mail or in person. And the state and everybody is trying to get encouraging everybody to vote absentee. So we really don't have a bunch of people that, or so you don't have to show up at the polling place and make a decision, you know, do I have to get sick or can I vote? We want to make voting as safe as possible. So it encouraging and then provides more money to encourage folks to vote absentee. And because the polling places will also be open, so that is an option if you do want to go to the polling place on election day, and it provides money for resources for kind of personal protective equipment such as hand sanitizer, masks, plexiglass, so poll workers so we can make this experience as safe as possible for people who do go to vote.
And it said in some of the materials I read that some voting places may be closed, depending on if they're near like some, you know, a compromised population of people, that it's possible they might close the polling place. how would one know if that's going to happen?
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely right. The bill allows local election officials to close polling places that are in, like, for example, a senior center where they're at a heightened risk to get COVID-19. So you can find out, and then I'm going to refer you to the Secretary of State's website. You can go there, type in your address. If you're going to go vote in person, you'll want to go type in your address and make sure, and that will tell you where you are voting, because your polling place may change depending upon where you live. So if you've lived somewhere and you're used to going to, you know, the church down the street to go vote, I'd encourage you to just make sure to double check to make sure that your polling place has not changed, so you're going to the right place.
And so any polling place that is open, will it be required to have accessible voting machines?
Yep, and that's one of the reasons why polling places, it is important for polling places to be open, because, you know, there are a lot of people, accessible or absentee voting won't work because it's not necessarily accessible to everyone. Whereas if you go to the polling place, there are the ballot marking machines where you can vote privately and independently and make sure your vote's cast. And you can do that on the election day, or you can do that if you vote absentee in person, which is also an option. They should have the accessible ballot marking machine. So those should be in all the polling places.
So as many months back, I went to somewhere where they were demonstrating different voting machines. I know they're looking at, well, they are presumably bringing in some different voting machines to follow certain guidelines, because each state, under my understanding, each state has its own guidelines of what it accepts or doesn't accept from a voting machine. So, yep. For instance, my understanding is our state requires a full ballot to be printed, and there are some states that don't require a full ballot. Does that make sense to you?
Right. So Minnesota decided, you know, I think this all kind of stems out of the 2000 election kind of debacle and what happened in Florida. And you might remember the hanging chads and the case went all the way to the Supreme Court to try to figure out who won. After that, you know, the Congress passed the Help America Vote Act, and to give states money to kind of fix their election systems. And in that, they required accessible voting machines, which is definitely a great thing. Minnesota decided, you know, states could decide whether they wanted to go kind of all electronic and just do it that way. Minnesota, because we like paper ballots, in Minnesota, and I think paper ballots are a good thing, because at the end of the day, if something does go wrong, you have a paper ballot that you can go back and look at and actually see who the person voted for. So our machines, so any machine that's used in Minnesota has to be able to print a printed ballot.
Yes, I remember seeing, I believe I saw like three different kinds. So depending on where you are, I know for like all I knew was the AutoMark, and now there's a couple different kinds coming out, and some of them are being introduced into different counties. So I presume this is happening kind of all around different states. So people need to check out that idea if they need accessible voting machines. But that being said, how does the polling workers get trained on these machines so they know how they work and how, you know, what to do with them?
Right. So the polling, I think one of the you know, polling workers have to go through training through the county and the Secretary of State's office. And one of the pieces of the training is how to set up and use the accessible voting machine, which you're right. You know, most people will be familiar with the AutoMark because that's what's been used kind of since 2004, 2005. Now the machines are kind of aging out, so counties are having to figure out what is the next generation of voting machines going to be. Whatever county you go to, you should be assured that the county workers will be trained on how to use the accessible voting machine and will have it set up in a way that will allow people to vote independently and privately.
Let's talk about voting by mail. Okay, that's one of the ways that you can vote early and safely, where if you feel uncomfortable going to the actual place or don't want to deal with the lines, all sorts of things, you may vote by mail. Can you talk about how that process works?
Right. So you'll want to request an absentee ballot. And this is something that Minnesota has had absentee balloting, absentee voting for, you know, many, many, many years. You know, it used to be that prior to a few years ago, it used to be only a few people could vote absentee because you needed an excuse to be able to vote absentee. I think in 2013 or 2014, Minnesota did away with that requirement and allows anyone to vote absentee. So you don't need an excuse anymore. What you'll need to do, though, in order to vote absentee is to go on the Secretary of State's website, mnvotes.org, and request an absentee ballot. An absentee ballot will then be mailed to you, and you can fill out that ballot and return it before the election day. I would encourage people who are doing absentee ballot, just because I know when I put something in the mail that it's going to get there, but I'm never quite sure how long it's going to take. I would, you know, do it, you know, at least 4 or 5 days before, even though you can wait up until postmark it on election day. It just needs that mark on election day, but just to make sure that it's that it gets there, because I believe that for the primary, if it's postmarked by election day and it gets there within 2 business days, they will count it. But I would just want to make sure I'd give a little bit more time to do that. And I should say that for the primary right now, for the August primary, absentee voting is underway. So if you want to vote now, you can vote now.
Okay. It's unfortunate to me that getting a mail, you know, voting absentee by mail or voting early by mail is not accessible. I'm kind of disappointed on that one because I'm the one who needs the accessible ballot. I mean, you can do that and get help, obviously. I could get somebody to help me fill it out, but it is not the same as having that full control under your fingers to vote for whom you want and feel like this is truly my private, you know, thing to be able to do. That being said, you know, I'm confident in what I'm voting for, and I don't ever feel pressured, or, you know, I can vote for who I want. I imagine there are people out there that could feel in a position where somebody is helping them and they feel like they might feel a little pressure, like, what if they say something about who I'm voting for? So what could they do about that if they aren't able to go into the polls but need some unbiased help?
If I guess it kind of depends on the individual's situation, because if they're not able, if they do need unbiased help, I mean, hopefully they have someone they know or could, that could help them, that they could ask for help, because I understand the point on the inaccessibility of absentee balloting. It's one of the few disappointing features of the Minnesota system. I know in other states, there's been work to make ballots accessible. And I know in Minnesota, there's been legislation to do that, but it hasn't passed. It hasn't passed the legislature. Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to take it up during this special session, Governor. But I do know that there's people looking at that issue and working on it, because hopefully we can get a fix to that sometime soon.
Let's say you're not registered to vote yet. How do you go about doing that?
Well, there's a couple ways to go about registering. So in order to be to register, you need to be at least 18 years old, a U.S. citizen, in Minnesota for 20 days, and have your felony sentence completed. If you want to register before the election, you would again go to the Secretary of State's website, and they have a registration, online registration, and you can just register online. If you're not able to, or you move to Minnesota, late October, and you just haven't been able to register yet, you can actually register at the polling place on election day. So you'll have to bring kind of the documents you need for registration and find out all the documents, go on the Secretary of State's website. If you don't have the documents, you can have someone vouch for you who lives in the precinct, and they'll vouch that they know you live in the precinct, so you'll be able to register.
Yeah, my understanding is like you need your ID and probably some kind of bill or statement that states your address, right?
Correct. And if you don't have that, you can have someone vouch for you.
Ah, okay. That's always good too. So remember all those who want to pre-register or register if you need to, if you've just moved somewhere or you have moved to a different, do you need to register again if you have moved to a different, county?
It's my understanding that every time you move, you need to register your new address.
Okay. So let's talk about the safety things that they're doing for voters and polling workers in regards to, at least in Minnesota, so that people feel safer. Is there a mandatory masks wearing in the polling places?
There is not a mandatory mask wearing in the polling places, but they are. I did hear the Secretary Simon, who was the Secretary of State in Minnesota, in an interview, say they are going to have masks for people and encourage people to bring their mask. And they don't have a mask, they're going to give them a mask, and they will encourage people who come to vote to wear a mask, because masks work based on kind of the science. So they want to make this as safe as possible for everybody who's coming in the polling place.
Do they worry about not finding enough polling workers if they don't have enough safety things in place?
Well, I'm not even sure that it's a question of how much safety things are in place. It's just a question of, and I just read an article today in the Duluth paper where they're scrambling to try to find polling workers because there are a lot of polling workers who've been workers for many, many years who, you know, just because of COVID-19, they're very concerned getting COVID. And it kind of doesn't matter how many protections you put in place. They're just concerned, and you know, you can't blame people for just being concerned.
Well, you spend a lot of hours there,
right? You spend basically all day there. So there is a concern that there aren't going to be enough polling places. That's another reason why they're probably not going to be able to staff all the polling places that they've staffed in previous elections, and why you'll want to check the website, Secretary of State's website, to see if your polling place is open, and if not, where you should be able to go vote.
Let's talk about curbside voting. How do we have it, and if so, how does it work?
Yep. So in Minnesota, we have curbside voting. So curbside voting, if you can't get into the polling place and you want to vote curbside, you can. And so you pull up to the election polling place. Two judges will come out, and they will give you your ballot. You can fill out your ballot. If you need assistance, one of the election judges could help you, provide that assistance for you. After you fill it out, you return it to the election officials. The election officials take the ballot and then submit the ballot, and then you can go on your way.
Now, do you have to, presumably, you have to let somebody know you're coming to do that, right? You wouldn't get out of your car, walk in, and say, I want to vote curbside.
Right.
So how do you let them know?
I would, and this is always a question that gets raised every election, how to let the election workers know, because I've been to many election polling places. And there's never an election worker, or rarely an election worker, just kind of waiting outside.
Right. So
I mean, the best bet is to call local elections worker or county. So call the elections office, tell them, you know, where you vote, what time you're going to be there, and ask them to have, you know, an election worker just kind of looking for you to keep an eye out for you so that they know you're coming. That's probably the best way to do it.
Okay. Now, presumably they'll have wipes and plexiglass things installed and things like that to kind of help with separation and keeping a little bit of distance. But I have been lucky enough in my polling place. I think I am going to vote early by mail. I'll have to have somebody help me, but you know, like I said, I feel confident that I will be okay, and I don't feel like I'm going to get pressured. And do you foresee some people saying, you know, this is just too hard this year, I'm not going to vote?
I hope not. Because actually, you know, it might be hard to get to the polling place, and we want to encourage people to vote absentee, so there's less people going to the polling place. So that's better for the health of the voter and health of the polling place worker. But absentee ballot, we've had absentee balloting in Minnesota for a number of years. So there's really nothing that's changed about the way that, you know, people are voting. absentee. So I would hope that it's been around so long that people are comfortable voting for absentee, and they just realize that voting absentee is just like voting in person, except you're voting from home, and that would not discourage someone from voting.
If somebody has trouble or is having trouble casting their ballot, what can they do?
If someone is, and I guess if you're having trouble casting your ballot and you're in the polling place,
right,
you can ask an election official to help you. Or, I mean, another option is you can have, you know, if you need assistance, you don't have to rely on an election official. You can bring someone to assist you, and they can assist you in the ballot.
If you want. In our election in August 11th, you said the ballots can get there as long as they're stamped the day of. Will they be accepted a day or two after?
It's my understanding that they will be accepted 2 days after. But, you know, because I've, you know, and usually the post office is pretty good, but they're going to have a lot of mail.
Yes.
So I would just want to make sure, just vote a couple of days earlier to make sure that your vote counted.
And things have been a little crazier lately. So what about the election on November? They might be a little more strict about that because they do want to get, I'm presuming that a lot of people are going to take advantage of the voting early in the mail-in ballots this year. So do they, if they're not there on November 11th, are they not accepted?
You know, I think the postmarking and voting on election day, it's for right now, it only applies to the August 11th, the primary. So I would need to check in further before about when you have to get in the ballot for the general election. I mean, my view was just you should just make sure you get in the ballot sooner rather than later.
Get in early.
Yeah, I'm going to get it in like a week early to be sure.
It can't be too early, right? I mean, if you send it in earlier, that will it just sit and wait for them to count it? How does that work?
I believe. So you can start voting early. Again, you can vote early, start voting early now for the August 11th election. It actually started, early voting started June 26th. For the November 3rd election, you can start voting September 18th. But the votes won't actually be, I don't think they'll count them until a week or two. I think they'll start a week maybe prior to the election counting them. So they won't count them, but you can vote anytime after September 18th.
Justin, you know, there has been a lot of stuff going around as far as from the White House and stuff about mail-in ballots and that they lead to higher fraud and whatnot. And then, you know, I hear that no, that's not true, that it does not, it doesn't mean that there's a bunch of mail fraud going on with mail-in ballots. Talk a little bit about that.
And that's absolutely right. There is not a lot of fraud in general in the voting process in Minnesota, and especially with mail-in ballots, especially although that has been definitely raised as a concern, but it's not, you know, something that is the case because, you know, in order for mail-in ballots, and by mail-in ballots, I mean absentee voting by mail, the individual has to request a ballot. So kind of a thief or someone who wanted to, who was up to no good and wanted to, you know, steal a ballot, they would have to know the person is requesting a ballot because ballots aren't going to everyone. And then the voter puts identifying information on their ballot, which kind of someone who wanted to monkey around with the ballots wouldn't be able to switch the ballots because, or like steal the ballot, because, you know, you need, the voter needs to have that personal identifying information on the ballot. And in Minnesota, there's a way on the Secretary of State's website to track the ballots. So you know, if you do have concerns, you can, you know, go to the Secretary's website and go to the ballot tracker page and put in your information, and you can be assured that, okay, my ballot has been received and it's been counted.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that.
Yes, absolutely.
So how do you do that? Talk about.
Right. So you get your absentee ballot, you can fill it out. And then I haven't voted absentee yet. I'm planning on it. But I know there's a site on the Secretary's website where you can track your ballot, and you would put in the information on your ballot and it would give you an update as to where things are, whether your ballot has been received or not.
Okay, cool. And that's good to know. And presumably this whole mail-in ballot thing can work as well with people in group homes and whatnot, that they can get mail-in ballots and get help presumably in their group home if they need anything explained?
Yeah, they can absolutely, if you're in a group home or residential facility, assisted living, I mean, you can get request your ballot by mail and vote absentee.
Do you have statistics on approximately how many people with disabilities vote each election?
I don't have statistics on kind of the raw number of how many people vote. I do know that it is generally, you know, 5 to 10% less than the voting percentage. So let's say 60% of the people voted in your state, a state such as Minnesota, then it would be, you know, people with disabilities would vote at a rate of 55% or 50%. So it is lower. So, you know, we want to encourage people with disabilities to vote, to get that number up, so people with disabilities are voting at a similar level than the general population.
Presumably, maybe with things being made a little bit easier, that more will vote this year. If you had to give a couple reasons to somebody, if they say, why should I vote, what would you tell them?
I would say, you know, because you're voting for the government at all different levels, from school board to president, you want to vote if you want to see change, if there are issues that are really important to you, such as transportation, healthcare, education, housing, I mean, the list goes on and on. And you think there are issues with those areas and you'd like to see changes in those areas, you should vote. Because really, in our society, voting is the only way to make those changes. So I would encourage anyone who's passionate or feels whatever way about whatever issue to vote for the candidate that reflects their beliefs.
I do want to remind people how important it is to make sure you vote. And I really like the idea that it's being way acceptable for people to vote early. And I think just really opens up the timeline for people to get their votes in and to be able to do that and get help if they're having trouble. So can you give us the websites again for if people need questions answered, if they need a ballot, if, you know, whatever they might need to know about coming up voting?
To know about the dates, the registration requirements, how to request an absentee ballot, where to vote, the time of the elections, they should go to the Secretary of State's website, mnvotes.org. There's also a 1-800 number that they can call. It's 1-877-600-VOTE.
Can you give that phone number again?
It's 1-877-600-VOTE.
I really appreciate this, Justin. Is there anything I missed?
Yeah, I guess the only other thing that I would add is for there's sometimes there's confusion in the community about people under guardianship. And just want to clear up that confusion. People under guardianship can vote, do have the right to vote, unless their guardianship papers specifically make a finding that they are unable to vote. So if you're under guardianship or have a guardianship question, take a look at your guardianship papers. And if they say nothing about voting, that means you should be able to vote. And we encourage everybody to vote.
All right. Excellent. Charlene, did you have any questions for Justin before we left? I'm going to take that as a no. Well, Justin, thank you. It's been great having you on. I really do appreciate this. And take care and happy voting this year.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me on. And I agree. Happy voting. Go vote.
This has been Disability in Progress. The views expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KFAI or its board of directors. My name is Sam. I'm the host of this show. Charlene Dahl is my research woman. Matt Finkel and Annie Harview are my engineers. Thank you, guys. I couldn't do it without you. And tonight we were speaking with Justin Page. Justin is the assistant supervising attorney with the Mid-Minnesota Legal Aid Minnesota Disability Law Center. This is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. Don't forget about our podcasts and our archives and app that you can download on your phone. And if you want to be a part of the emailer, you may email me at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. Fresh Fruit is up next. Thank you so much for listening.